That's supposed to be surf music, so I can only guess what they were taking when they did that, huh? Welcome to our program, The Phil Hendry Show, for Wednesday here. It's the 30th of August, and we're going to do something we haven't done in a long time, which is a Phil only, but it's not going to be anything more than just trying to explain to you what happened over the last few days. And if you're looking at the video cast, or maybe you caught one of the pictures I posted on Twitter, you can see that I got a big shiner, a black eye, and I've got a bandage here on the right side of my head. And Ed, we'll tell you what happened. We'll let you know. And it all came about last weekend at the height of the McGregor-Mayweather hysteria and mayhem and sports aficionado weekend. It was a big weekend. So I thought I would do that. I'd fill you in. And along the way, as I fill you in, there's little snippets and snapshots of life and people and places and things that I saw along the way. Now, just an update on what's happening with our show. And if I sound different now than I usually do when I'm on the show with the panel, it's because I'm different with them than I am with you. I'm real with you, and with them, I'm, well, anyway, let's not get into that. So I'm playing a part is what I'm saying when I'm doing that. And here, I think I'm pretty much Phil, although I am probably leaning toward behaving more than I ordinarily would. Now, last weekend, as you know, was the big fight, McGregor and Mayweather. Some of you are not sports fans, I understand. And if you don't know what it is that I'm talking about, I get that too. But it was a fight we were anticipating, and I was going to be over in Westlake Village with Maria, and we were going to be at the house there and barbecuing. I said, well, I'm going to barbecue some hamburgers, and it would just be her and I and this fight. Big sports night. And we, you know, did a little bit of swimming, and I had Thunder over there, and she had her dog Millie, and everybody was just prancing about, and having fun. And so comes the night of the fight, and I guess the reason why I'm telling all this is preliminary to how it is I got this black eye and how it is I got this gouge in my head. So I said, well, have you got the fight? She says, I can't get it because Showtime, I don't have Showtime. She's got something called UVerse on her TV there. And it's from AT&T. And in order for her to have ordered Showtime, she was going to have to get additional equipment. I don't understand it. And I'm not criticizing it. I don't understand it. Because sometimes, like with DirecTV, if you want something, you call them up. At the worst case scenario, you call them up, and sometimes you can just text them, and bang, there it is on your TV. But with these guys, I guess you need extra equipment for Showtime. So when she was trying to order this equipment, she was on hold forever. And as you well know by now, you probably have read, there are people beside themselves because they couldn't get the fight. They were not able to either. They were not accessing the stream properly, or it was not being delivered properly. Somehow, there's a big to-do. And I guess there's like lawsuits or something being filed. Sounds a little extreme at this point, but how about just maybe their money back and I don't know. But it does sound extreme, but there have been lawsuits threatened. So anyway, me, on the other hand, when I realized that she couldn't get this thing on the TV, I said, well, I got DirecTV at home. I bet you I could access it by way of my phone. Not that I could get it on the television, but that I could get it on my phone. And I did. I went to the DirecTV app. This is not a commercial for DirecTV, by the way. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm just, you know, if they want to buy time, that'd be nice. But like all of these plugs, like a lot of these plugs that I do, just the everyday usage of things, I'm just, you know, telling you how good something is or how bad something is. In this particular case, DirecTV was actually working properly. And I said, well, okay, through the app, I went over to where the McGregor-Mayweather fight was. Which, if it was on Showtime, that's great. HBO, it doesn't make any difference. They just give you a list of the shows that are available or pay-per-views that are available. Bang, I plugged in my, you know, I hit my password on that. And I'll be a son of a gun if we didn't get the fight. Yeah, it was on a, you know, iPhone. It was on a 7. Not a bad size, you know, bigger screen than usual. But it was on a phone. So what we did is after we had dinner, we sat down and we put the phone on a coffee table propped up behind it. It was propped up with a glass of probably tequila. And then, you know, and we propped it up on the coffee table, sat on the floor. Boom. You know, it was a little teeny television set we were watching. And we had the fight. And it was a good fight. You guys saw it. It went beyond what I thought. I thought it would be two rounds. I was running my big fat mouth, and I said, two rounds, and he's going to smoke this guy. It took 10 rounds, and he didn't exactly smoke him, but you know what? He was well in charge, and Mayweather won, and he should have won, and he did win, and that's where that's at. Thank you. Goodbye. Who knows? But I certainly, just to give you my own amateur read on the thing, from what I understand, he was winning the fight from the fourth round on, so I don't think it had anything to do with, yes, stamina, absolutely figured, but I think he was going to win the fight anyway. But that's not why I'm here to talk to you today. Why I'm here to talk to you today is to explain why on Twitter, if you go over to Twitter and you go over to the Phil Hendry Show account on Twitter, not real Phil Hendry, but Phil Hendry Show, there's a picture there of me in the emergency room at Los Robles Hospital in Thousand Oaks, California at about 2:30 in the morning, and it looks like, I don't know, like a gunshot. Yeah, you know, like I got a gunshot wound, except I've got a smile on my face, so it can't be, you know, that serious. Well, what happened was this, and I've told you guys on occasion that I have a thing called sleep paralysis. It's a sleep disorder. I've had it since I was in high school. Every doctor I've ever told about it has said to me the equivalent of this. It's been, oh, it's, isn't that interesting? Yes. Yes, and you know that it does this and that. Yeah, I know. There's no real medicine you can take. In fact, I don't think you want to take a medicine for it because anything you take is going to maybe slow you down. Maybe there's an epilepsy medicine. I don't know. It's not really epilepsy because it's so infrequent and it happens when I sleep. And it happens, other people that have had this know what I'm talking about. And you can look it up. Now, sometimes you read descriptions of sleep paralysis that say it feels like there's an alien being sitting on your chest, or that there's a demon sitting on your chest. I've heard that. I've heard people say that. It's never happened to me like that. Here's what happens with sleep paralysis. You're laying there, and you wake up, but not fully to the point where you can move your limbs, get out of bed, go take a leak, whatever. You're awake, you're laying there, and the consciousness that you're experiencing is the following. I know that I was asleep, and now I'm sort of partially awake. I know where I am. I know, you know, who I am. But the consciousness that I have is not completely awake because I'm sort of in a twilight. So the room around you looks like the room that you're in, except certain things are different depending upon what's happening in your subconscious. Maybe the window is shaped differently. Maybe the color of the wall is different. And maybe if you really start getting yourself into a lather, which sometimes I've done, maybe you imagine there's somebody lurking in the corner. Maybe you imagine there's someone, you know, trying to get you. I mean, this is what happens when you are no longer fully asleep, but you're just enough under whereby you can influence your subconscious and do some weird things to yourself. But that's never really been a problem for me. I mean, occasionally I've had those kinds of nightmarish sleep paralysis episodes, but most of the time it's just me there and I'm awake, but I can't move my arms. I can't move my legs. I'm trying to, but it's like you're paralyzed, man. So one of the things that you do, and you learn to do this from an early age on, from like I say, from the time I was 16 until now, I've had this. And I know it brings it on. Excessive coffee, excessive alcohol, not enough sleep, anything that jacks around with that area of your brain that those things affect, yeah, then sleep paralysis is on the horizon, man. Here's an example of what affected it in the positive. When I first went on that diet I was on back in 2012 when I lost like 90 pounds, I didn't have sleep paralysis throughout that entire period. Now, I thought about it, and the consistent thing that was happening during that diet was there was not a lot of sugar. There wasn't a lot of booze, if there was any at all. I remember there was I went to a Rick and Morty debut party in June of that year, and I had a few beers and a couple of shots of tequila. That was probably my alcohol consumption for the whole summer. But nonetheless, the one thing that was consistent, there wasn't any sugar. And I remember, at one point during this period, I thought, geez, I haven't had an episode of sleep paralysis. Pretty interesting. Now we cut to last Saturday night. It's around 1:30, 2 o'clock. I wake up. I can't move. And the usual thing that you do from the time you were very, very young, you learn to roll back and forth. You try to get the body going by rolling from one side to the other. Try to throw the body over to another position. Try to do whatever you can, as extreme as you can, and that wakes you up. That forces your consciousness awake. Now, I had a conversation with a doctor, a guy by the name of Gans, in Beverly Hills back in the early 80s. Great guy, funny guy. He was, giving me a physical, and I told him about the sleep paralysis, and he said, I have a theory, Phil. He didn't talk like that, but he said, I have a theory. He says, because I knew guys when I was going through medical school that had this, and I used to think, I wonder if I set the room on fire while they were asleep, going through this sleep paralysis, would they force themselves awake to save their own lives? In other words, is it purely a psychological state? Right? In other words, if it is indeed a physical phase or a physical malady, then you could set that room on fire. You could unleash the Cossacks. You're not going to wake up until you can force yourself awake, and no manner of exterior threat is going to influence that. If it's psychological, and you see that you're in jeopardy, science tells us, and most of our experience tells us that we will save our own lives. We will, probably wake up, extract ourselves from whatever psychological, blissed out, weirded out thing we're in, and we'll make a move for the door, or put the fire out with a hose or something. So I remembered that conversation. Is it psychological? Will you come out of it if you know that you're in immediate threat? Will you wake up and will you, save yourself from being harmed? I thought of that one night when years ago, I was just married to Maria. I had sleep paralysis. And I thought of the conversation that we'd had while I was laying there. So that's how conscious you can be, even though you are in that twilight sleep. If I roll myself off this bed, and what Dr. Gans theorizes is true, I'll stop myself. I'll break my fall. Because I'll know I'm about to hit the floor. I'm going to break my fall. So guess what I did? I rolled myself off that bed, and I didn't break my fall. I hit the floor. Bam. I think I hit my shoulder. And I remember at the time Maria waking up and looking over the edge of the bed and go, what the hell are you doing? So that was all the experiment there that I needed. Now, cut to last Saturday night. I'm not trying to go through the Dr. Gans experiment. I'm just trying to wake up. I'm trying to get myself so that I can move my body, probably get up, who knows, get a glass of water, something, slow myself down. Because I know when you have sleep paralysis, you need to slow everything down, man. You need to chill the fuck out. You need to just, maybe I was going to get into a hot tub. I don't know what. But I'm rolling back and forth, and I'm trying to wake up. Now, for whatever reason, this has never happened before until Saturday night. I was so close to the edge of the bed that I was in danger of falling off. And I felt myself falling. I didn't intend it to happen, as I did that one time I described to you. It just so happened there I was at the edge of the bed. And I fell. And I can't tell you for sure if I would have been able to arrest that. In other words, if I'd been able to roll back the other way. But I think at some point I made the decision, I'm going to let myself just fall off the bed. I was going that way anyway. So I rolled to the right, trying to wake up. And as I rolled to the left again, and then I rolled back right again, I felt myself falling off the bed. And I said, fuck it, I'll just let myself fall off the bed. It was not a wise choice. Because when I fell, I hit my head, hit the side of an end table, and down I went. I woke up to the feeling of what felt like somebody had poured a glass of water, a glass of liquid down the side of my face. As soon as I hit, I felt this liquid coming down the side of my face. And I did what most men do. I called for the female, honey, baby, help, help, I said, hey, Maria, I woke her out of a sound sleep. I said, I'm bleeding. And she didn't know what. I think later she told me, actually, she had been awakened by me falling. And when I said that I was bleeding, the first thing she did is she ran and got a bunch of ice and a cloth to put it on my head. So I got up and I said, I got to get into the shower. Now, at some point as I was walking toward the shower, I began thinking, that felt like maybe I hit a glass of water on the side of the table and poured it. And I said, all right, it could be water. She goes, oh, yeah, water? I said, yeah. And I went around the corner and I looked in the mirror and I said, no, it ain't water. It's blood. So I had that whole side of my face, like I seriously suffered a gunshot wound, bloody, all the way down the side. Into the shower I go, turn on the shower, and now I begin the impossible task of trying to put pressure on it, stop the bleeding, and at the same time shower off this excessive blood. Was not having any success. Maria comes into the bathroom. She's got this thing of this cloth with all of this ice in it. I'm kind of cranky. I'm saying, well, where's the bleeding coming from? She said, here, I'll put your finger right on it. Okay, well, come on. I'm being an asshole. And she put my thumb right on it. And then I moved the ice over there. Well, long story short, forget it, Jack. Because what had happened, as the doctor said later, you know, the head is very, quote, vascular. There's lots of veins and blood vessels, all kinds of stuff happening there, man. That's why when you see a fighter get hit in the head, in the face, he bleeds. There's lots of blood there. So that's what was happening to me. And there was no way this thing was going to stop. And while I'm sitting there trying to find where the leak is, and I'm trying to stem it with my thumb, and I'm trying to put ice on it, and I'm trying to shower, Maria says to me, I'm calling 911. There's no way in hell you're ever going to stop that. I go, what? What are you talking? You know, I'm naked. It's in the middle of the night. I don't think I have a good shirt. I think my pants aren't pressed. You know, I was thinking all kinds of stupid stuff. Like, you're going to bring an ambulance here? She says, yeah, honey. She said, forget it. I'm calling 911. Because there was no way that she could stick me in the car and drive me. I was bleeding like a stuck, you know what, I was bleeding. I mean, the presence of mind she had was pretty good, to be honest with you, because think about it, man. If I'd been by myself, I guess I would have called an ambulance too. I don't know. I was bleeding, man. I wasn't stemming the flow at all, man. Now, eventually it did, and I'll get to that point, but it did begin to slow down before the doctor even got to it, because I guess, you know, sooner or later it's going to coagulate somewhere in the vein there. But long story short, on that little episode, she says, I'm calling 911, so screw you. So I'm like, well, what are you going to do then? I'm grousing. I finally turn the water off, and I sit down on the edge of the tub, and I'm holding this damn cloth to my head and this ice and this ridiculous scene of me. And I said, well, can I get a pair of pants or something? So she brings me my shorts. I get into my shorts, and I get into a sweatshirt, and I'm waiting for the EMTs now. She's called 911. We get Ventura County shows up, because where we live is sort of on the border of LA and Ventura County. I guess, I don't know who gets the call, but these guys were Ventura. They were great guys. I got to tell you, there were seven of them that showed up. Seven guys show up, seven EMTs. And what looked to be a supervisor from the fire department. And they proceeded to, I think we need a 4x4. And Terry, I want to get to, but you know, those guys, they have a language all their own, and they're talking, and you're sitting there, and it all sounds extremely serious, and it's all technical, and you don't know what the hell they're going to do with you, and what's next, and what machine are they going to hook you up to. And you're looking around all these guys, big dudes, nice guys. You know, when they did have time to talk to each other, they were talking about the fight. And talking about, and this one guy who must have been kidding, man, I lost $10,000 on that fight. And back and forth they went. And of course, I was there trying to make small talk, trying to be one of the guys, and they didn't care about me. Dude, you're the guy that we came to plug. Just shut up, you know? So they're talking, and they're trying to apply pressure, and they're taking my blood pressure, and it's elevated, as it might be. Anybody in a situation like that, you're probably going to see a little bit of a jump in blood pressure. How old are you? Tell them how old I am. And as I'm giving all these answers, of course, to me, they sound like all the wrong answers. I'm old. I fell out of bed. You know, and why do you fall out of bed? They're not asking me. They're asking each other, why do you fall out of bed? Epilepsy. I said, no, it wasn't epilepsy. It's a sleep disorder. It's called sleep paralysis. Oh, sleep paralysis. And, you know, so you're old, you fell out of bed because you have this thing called sleep paralysis. You're sitting there like a dumbass trying to stop the bleeding. They finally come over, they're called, and they finally come to the house, and they're looking at this dumbass there, soaked in blood in his shorts. And that's how I felt, you know, like the world's biggest dumbass. So these dudes were actually very cool. They said, well, Phil, why don't you stand up, man? Let's walk down here, and we'll wait for the ambulance. I said, the ambulance? I says, yeah, because they may have some tricks over at the hospital that they know that we don't, because I don't think they're having a successful time stopping the bleeding. And that's when we began this sort of half-assed conversation about the McGregor fight. And then came the ambulance. And then became, this was my first ambulance ride. Now, I pretty much was sure they weren't going to turn the siren on. That would have really sucked. That would have just, I would have been embarrassed beyond all, beyond any description if they turned us. And of course, no, they didn't, because there was no need to. We got to get this guy to the hospital because he's bleeding. He fell out of bed. You know. So, call up Lloyd. Get mouth siren cop. Anyway, now I'm with the EMT inside the ambulance, and I get the same questions over again. I'm not complaining. I understand. Everybody's got to get their, everyone has to get their copy of the answers that you gave. And how old are you, sir? This and that. And blood pressure? Yeah, let's take that. And what happened? What happened? Everybody asked me, what happened? I said, I have this thing called sleep paralysis. I woke up. I was trying to wake up. I rolled out of bed. I hit my head. Okay. I mean, you know, those cats, they've heard of it. So it's not like I was telling them about some exotic malady. And on into the night, we rolled off to a great hospital we have up there called Los Robles Hospital in Thousand Oaks. And I guess it is one of the benefits of a suburban hospital far away from the maddening crowd and the insanity of the urban nightscape, where you don't necessarily have a whole lot of gunshot wounds to attend to. You probably got a few drunks, and that's exactly what they had, drunks that have been in fights. So I come in with a bloody head. I'm just another guy with a bloody head. And oh yeah, I'd been drinking too. But by this point, I was pretty sober. And I roll in, and I'm on the gurney there, and I see, and I have to tell you, I mean this with the greatest of sincerity, everybody there was really nice, and everybody there looked like they were really digging their job. Now, forgive me if I sound naive. I don't spend a lot of time in emergency rooms. Thank God, you know. I haven't been in the hospital but once in my life. You guys remember when I had pneumonia. And there I am laying on this gurney. I'm looking at all these smiling people, and here's a lady here. She's a nurse from England, and how are you? And I'm doing great. Here's another lady here, and here comes the guy who takes down your insurance information. He's a young Asian American who is standing at a cart that he gets to push everywhere. And on this cart is a computer. There's a printer. Everything you could possibly need to get information from, you know, processing credit cards, everything you need to get information on insurance from a patient. So there's no standing in line. You remember those days? I as recently as when I was in the hospital in 09, I had to stand there in line. Excuse me, stand there in line and give my insurance information. But no, this is a new day. This kid had on this cart everything you'd possibly need to be able to process someone's admission into a hospital, their payment, etc. And said, what kind of insurance? I said, I don't know. I said, I have my insurance through my union. And I almost belched there, if you heard me kind of like that. I wasn't having another sleep paralysis. I was just, you know, making a weird sound. So, and do you have your insurance card, sir? I do not have my, well, what's your Social Security? And okay, and where's your ID? Man, if I showed my ID I showed my ID to 50 people that night. Fire department wanted my ID. Hospital wanted my ID. The guy there wanted my ID. And I got one of my ID. Then Maria wanted my ID because she was buying cigarettes. I'm kidding. Anyway, so there was that guy. And then I saw a smiling guy, and it was the doctor, Dr. Raven. And this guy was smiling and very affable. And I said, boy, doc, you're here in the middle of the night with all this hell going on. Yeah, he said, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'll tell you what the guy reminded me of. He reminded me of one of the Four Seasons. That's what he looked like. He had dark hair, kind of a, his name was Raven. His first name was Rahman. So I think he probably was of Middle Eastern descent, possibly Muslim, but all American. And he says, "Hey, so what happened?" I told him, okay. He said, "Well, you sit tight. Now, you know that you weren't hurt that bad when the doctor leaves and he's off doing a whole lot of other stuff." And we saw a few people that had come in and were in bad shape, man. One girl was a drug overdose. There's her boyfriend standing there looking at her, waiting for her to cut. She was okay, but she was she'd been puking her guts up. Another couple of people, like I said, had been in fights. Somebody had some kind of a stomach ailment. Some old lady was there and had a heart attack. You know, it's just a lot of different cases, I guess. And he's gone, and so I'm left to talking with the nurses and Maria. And one of the nurses walks in and says, "Oh, this is interesting. You know, you and I are excited about certain things. Me, I'm excited about what? Football, broadcasting. Yeah, I like a lot of things. You like what you like." People in the medical field just love to see wounds and stuff, you know? Not that they want to see you hurt, but, "Oh, look at this. It's about a 6-inch gash, right? You can see his heart." I mean, they crowd around. They will crowd around to see your blood, you know, your heart beating in your chest. So here comes the nurse, and she goes, "Look at this. Oh, that's about, yeah, that's 4 or 5 stitches I give it. Yeah, what do you think, Sue?" "Yeah, about 5 stitches." She says, "I can do that." She's a nurse practitioner, right? You know what, I don't know what that is. I know what a registered nurse is. Registered nurse, I always thought, was the highest level of nurse that you could possibly be, right? Man, what do I know? So maybe she was also a registered nurse. Is that it, RN? But she's, "Oh, yeah, I'm gonna ask Dr. Raven if I can do this." I didn't care. I mean, if somebody knew how to do it, they could do it. She goes off. About 3-4 minutes later, she appears with the doctor. And obviously the answer to her question was, "No, you can't. I'm going to do it." Because here comes the doc. "Well, now, you know." And she's over his shoulder looking. And he says to me, "Now, Phil," because prior to this, prior to him being in there, one of the nurses, because, you know, you don't want to listen to a lot of nurses because they'll tell you what they think. And generally, and I don't mean this as disrespect. I really don't. But generally, it's not exactly what the doctor's thinking because, for instance, one of them said, "Oh, they'll probably want a CAT scan just to look at the soft tissue." I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, in case you had a damage to the brain." "Okay, I can dig that. I understand." And but just a CAT scan, not an X-ray. "Okay, all right, cool." Well, when the doctor shows up, he says to me, "Phil, you got any dizziness?" "No." And that was the other thing I forgot to mention to you. When I was back at the house and the EMTs were there from the fire department, and we got a fire truck out front, and we got all these lights. Must have been a kick for the neighbors. And from this day forward, everybody that lives on that street will wonder, what goes on in that house? You know, what is he, the man in there? You know, we see him. He's this bald guy, and he's running around making funny faces. And the other night, there was an ambulance there. And everybody rolled off into the night in that ambulance. And they would say to me when they were there, they said, "Phil, what time is it?" I said, "It's about 3:30. "Where are you?" I said, "I'm in, you know, such and such. And, you know, I'm at my home. It's on such and such street." "Okay. And who's she?" Her name is Maria. So I knew where I was. And I was not suffering any. And that's what the doctor said to me. He said to me, "Now, you got any confusion?" "No." "Got a headache?" "No." Are you numb in the extremities?" No. "So guess what? No CAT scan." Probably I should have had a CAT scan. Who knows? All the obvious jokes. Is there anything in there? Is there anything in there worth looking at? Is there anything in there worth talking about? And if there is something in there, who cares? So all of that was not answered because he said, no. "I'm going to stitch you up." So he stitches me up. He says, "Beautiful thing, Phil. Nice meet you." I said, "Hey, doc." And I said to him, I said, because I believe this, that I know there's a whole school of thought, and it goes something like this. If you're a serious doctor and you're serious about healing people and you take your profession seriously, you don't worry about bedside manner. Bedside manner's for these lightweights. I want to just get in there and get the job. I want to save a man's life. Who cares what my manner is like? And I've never quite believe that. So I think you can be a great doctor and be a human being too. And I said, "You know, thanks a lot for that, doc." He says, "Hey," he says, "I see no reason why I can't show people that I enjoy my work. And I said, well, thanks a lot, pal. And off he went. So the nurse comes in. She says to me,
well, Mr. Hendry, I guess we're going to discharge you. That'll be $8,000.
Whatever. They didn't say that. It was, you know, whatever, the deductible. And I whipped out the plastic and I paid that. And then they gave me a pair of socks because I walked into the hospital barefoot. You know, I had on a shorts, I had on a sweatshirt, and I was barefoot. So in other words, I was dressed for the weekend, you know. And I was still a little crocked from all the tequila I'd been drinking, but they put me in these, I don't know if you guys have ever seen socks with treads. They've got treads. They put me in those things. We called up Uber, because I remember thinking, how am I getting home? You know, I know they brought me here in the ambulance. And Maria told me, I thought about following, and then I realized, no, I'm not in any shape. I'll just sit in the ambulance. They let her sit up front. And so at the end of the experience there at the hospital, I said to her, she said, Uber, that is the answer now. That's the answer. When you become the answer, when you're almost like, it's like Xerox or Jacuzzi, Uber, you know, Xerox means go Xerox that. Jacuzzi means, why don't you take a jacuzzi? And Uber means, shall we Uber somewhere? And that's what we did. We grabbed Uber and we got a nice guy from Central California who wanted to go looking at deer and coyote rather than, you know, get us home. And I was happy to do that, but I really wanted to kind of get the hell out of there and just get home and have another drink. As long as I was awake and I'd been to this bloody ass situation. Now, if you're looking at me on Phil TV, you can see the right eye is black. That was not the case when I got home on Sunday morning. The only thing that was wrong with me was this scar just above the eye here and over to the right. That's where I popped my head. I thought it was way up higher on my head. It was down lower, almost around the temple. And that was it. By yesterday, I had a black eye. So I get in this Uber, and this cat's telling us his story. Nice guy. You know, he's worked his way down the coast of California. Have you heard of this? I don't know. I got to tell you something. Maybe I ought to start driving for Uber because it sounds like a great way to see the state, if not, you know, see the country. He says, I started in San Francisco, and I worked my way down. And I said, I'm from Fresno. I worked my way down through the Central Valley, and then I got my way all the way down. And then I went down to San Diego, and now I worked my way back up to L.A. driving for Uber. Because I guess he gets a fare at some point that takes him to another city, and that's where he will be for a while. And he said, well, I'm in L.A. now because I've got a brother-in-law who's in the construction business, and I can work a couple of shifts for him when I'm not Ubering. I'm going to have to go back and double-check this story if I'm leaving anything out, but that's what it sounded like to me. And he was such a nice guy that when we finally rolled into the neighborhood, he said, look, there's a deer. And he slows the car down, and he starts backing it up to try to... I said, well, the house is over here. No, but wait, look. You know, and he's backing it up, and he's trying to flash his headlights on this deer. And then, look, there's another one. And I finally looked at Maria. I said, let's just get out. You know, I said, thank you very much. That's great. But, you know, we have a baby that's starving to death. I made up some bullshit story. And he, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah. No, I just, I thought you were down a hill. He was all fascinated with the deer and the coyote and everything. And I said, thank you very much. Great ride. Great conversation. And boom, out of there. Now, Maria flashes this letter that she got from Dr. Raven that said, it was like a note for school. It said, Phil needs to take the next 24 to 48 hours off to, because he just had a head trauma, and looking at him, I would suggest 48 hours off anyway, just to say that he did, and a lot of other smart ass stuff. I said, okay, well, we usually do an encore show on Tuesday nights. We'll do it on Monday night. As it turned out, we had to extend it into last night. Such is my life. Now, I'm not a guy that is that physical anymore. When I played sports when I was younger, yeah. And about the rowdiest thing I've ever done in my life is maybe climbing rocks or water skiing. I mean, something that could really hurt you if you fell, right? Because even body surfing or surfing, I would never consider that to be a dangerous sport. I know how to swim, and you get twisted around a little bit, but it's not like you fall off that board, you're a dead man. You fall off some skis at the wrong angle when you're water skiing, you could break your leg. You could break a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, that was it for me. And as I've gotten older, I'm even less physical, to the extent that the only physical activity that I engage in anymore is, and then also swimming. And that's about it. So walking into a hospital and getting my head stitched up, you know, because I bumped my head on a table, and then walking around with a shiner today was something else, you know. People just take a big, wide berth around you. I'm sure others have described this experience much, much better than I can. But when you have a black eye, you kind of swagger a little bit. Well, I might as well play the part, you know, that everyone thinks I am what they think I am. So, and you walk in and just, hey, how you doing? And you got the big black eye, and it never occurs to you that what they're thinking is, somebody belted that dumbass. Next time, man, put your fists up or something, huh? Put your school books over your face. Just anything. So, you know, I was out and about. I was trying to get some business done today, and I have this damn black eye, and also trying to change the damn bandage. The only other footnote to this entire episode is that I've got stitches in my head that have to come out. And all of this is the result of rolling out of bed because I had sleep paralysis. And this has taught me a lesson. First of all, if you have been drinking, make sure you're sleeping in the middle of the bed. Or if you've had excessive amounts of coffee, anything that affects the motor sensory, am I in the right ballpark? You people that study the brain, you doctors out there, you people who know the physiology of the human being, is it the motor side of the brain or motor sensory side? Anyway, make sure that you're in the middle of the bed so that when you wake yourself up, you're still laying in a bed, you're not laying on the floor. And then, of course, understand that if you're spending a weekend throwing back tequila, there's a pretty good idea that you're going to have sleep paralysis if you've had this at all in your life. Sleep disorders are jacked up to begin with, and there's some that are way worse than sleep paralysis. I mean, some that I don't ever want to know about, but it's a drag. And I've had it since I was a high school student of 16 or thereabouts. So that's that, and that's the fill-only that I wanted to do for you today, and now you're completely up to speed on all of this. Now, I want to tell you that we're in the midst of our BSP promotion, which is 2 months at 99 cents. We're going to get something else cranking here as the fall months begin. We'll get back to and I have to tell you, the BSP chat on Friday night was, for whatever reason, it was truncated. It was it sucked because of the fact that DocCast, which is one of the companies we use for our streaming, had changed their security settings and I guess hadn't let us know or didn't care to let us know. And so as a result of that, we were not able to hook up our BSPs properly for our chat. So I apologize for that. They didn't have any picture, and certainly there's no audio if you don't have a picture, although we did have the text box. So I really feel bad about that. I apologize. We got that squared away. As a result of that, we were not able to have our Saturday cinema. And then, of course, what happened Saturday night meant we didn't have a live show on Sunday. So all this stuff snowballed. I fear, that's what happened, and we apologize to you, and this is us trying to get back up to speed on this thing. So tomorrow we'll get back with the panel and expect that we will have a Saturday cinema this weekend. We were going to open up our new studio this coming weekend. We may or we may not. I haven't even talked to the people at AT&T yet about what kind of line we have going out of the studio there, but at some point, sometime in the next 30 days, we're going to be in a brand new studio and in a brand new part of town. We're going to be in Westlake Village. Not at the El Pacifico, and you know we'll experience life from there, and launch whatever new adventures we launch from there. We are still getting you guys writing in. If you want to want to hang out with Phil, if you want me to pay a visit to your town, if there's a bunch of BSPs in one particular area that we should all get together with, let me know where you are. And do that by way of an email to service@philhendryshow.com. Service, C-E-R-V-I-C-E, service@philhendryshow.com. And at some point, we will make this series of tour stops, shall we say, in and around the country. That's it, brother. That's all I've got for you today. And all I can tell you is thanks so much for hanging with us. We're going to see you tomorrow night for our usual show, or tomorrow sometime during the day for our usual show. And let's see what else. Oh, as a matter of fact, Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman are going to be back with their football exploits this year. They're going to be calling some of the games. So you can hang out and on a Sunday morning, hang with Steve and Bud and their football commentary, which is pretty radical. It's bad, but it's I don't know. I would say that it's kind of revolutionary, too. It's so freaking bad, it's revolutionary. So, Steve, wherever you are, man, you know, if you're listening, you're so lousy, you're good, you know. Sure would appreciate that. World famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. See you tomorrow.